Okay, it looks like everyone who is here is in the room now, so I'd like to begin. As you know, this is a special assembly, so the only items that we will be discussing are what has been sent out to you and what is up here on the screen. So with that, I will begin with item number one, which is a report on the merger committee. For this, I would introduce Amber Gross, who is the president of Amuse. Amber? As well, Jane McAslin, who is the Vice President of Communication, who also sat on this committee. So, we have sent out, first of all, the first document, which was Better Together. That has been circulating for, I would say, about a year now. Almost, only since June? Oh, well, it's been circulating with us for more than that. And based on that, we have done a number of info sessions that were throughout campus as well as on the MAC campus. We have done one, two, three, four, five, six info sessions, including at the barbecue. And on top of that, we have presented our findings, which were sent out, I believe, on Wednesday to all of the membership. And again, I believe it was linked again today. So what we would like to do is a quick rundown of what has happened and what the conclusions are. We will then open to questions, and then we would like to proceed to a vote. So just to recap briefly, we were commissioned a number of years ago to look into a merger of the two units, Amuse and Munaca, because we both do similar jobs. We started that back in 2012, 2013. Since that time, we have communicated and had several meetings with the councils, with the stewards, and then finally with the general membership. Throughout those communications and question and answer periods, certain questions have been raised, certain themes have been raised by various individuals, and I'm just going to recap those because I think they were the most pertinent ones, and that was, how would a merger affect our current bargaining units? So how would it affect Munaca? The merger of the political merger that we're here to talk about today would not impact on Munaca's internal structure, meaning for you guys. It would only impact on how we run the union itself. So that would impact on the elected representatives and the process in which those decisions and policies are put into place. But as for your collective agreement as well, there would be no change. Your collective agreement would only be negotiated, voted on, and decided upon from Munaca members themselves. So the Amuse members would not come in and make changes to your collective agreement. That would still remain your sole purpose or your sole jurisdiction. And the same goes for Amuse. They would be able to negotiate and to represent themselves. And the only difference would be that we would have a combined, specifically a combined executive that would be able to work on both collective agreements. During the negotiation process, we would have observers from both groups just so that we know what is going on with the other one, but we would have no influence on what is being negotiated and how. And furthermore, the biggest strength, I think, would be that we would be able to be working on a day-to-day basis with the two groups. So as some of you may have noticed, there's been a huge number of, shall I say, casual influx. And a lot of that came about because of the voluntary retirement packages that were offered. As you know, a lot of these casuals are doing similar, if not identical, jobs to yourselves. And Munaca has noticed that our numbers, because of the voluntary retirement package, has gone down and has not gone back up. So the number that left, which were approximately 200, that number has not changed. So right now, the university is not open to bringing more UNACA members into our bargaining unit. So this is a great concern to us, but as I'm sure Amber will be able to explain, their numbers have gone up and continue to go up. So on that note, I'll bring the floor over to Amber if you want to talk a bit about how that's affecting your group.
Sure, yeah, I'll just speak really quickly about why this is something that our group is interested in, but also how we see it in relation to yours. As Kevin was saying, our numbers have gone up quite a bit in the past few years. I think in one of the documents you have, the numbers before your strike, UNACA was at 1,700, and when we unionized 5 years ago, we were around 1,000 or 1,100. Now we have 1,400, and UNACA has 1,300, so our numbers are actually higher than yours now, which just sort of shows on a broader scale at the university that the tasks that were once performed by permanent staff with job security, benefits, higher pay, are now being performed by our members who have much fewer of those benefits and much lower pay, which hurts everyone. It hurts you. It hurts us. Our members have way less opportunity to get a permanent position. A lot of UNACA members started as casuals, and we're seeing that's becoming much, much harder for our members, even much harder than when we unionized 5 years ago. And there is a way that we can sort of fight back against this. We can fight the slow draining away of permanent positions from the UNACA collective agreement, from the UNACA bargaining unit, but it's happening so many places at the university, sometimes quietly, sometimes without anyone noticing, because our members, much of the time, especially when they're working full-time, sitting at a desk, they don't look much different than your members, and it's just gotten to the point where it's happening so much that it's no longer something that we can address with a strategy as two separate units. It's happening to everyone in the same workplaces, since we don't work together on a daily basis, we're two separate unions and two separate offices and two separate executives and two separate boards, three councils. The communication just doesn't happen at the level that it needs to be. We need to be way more on top of this than we are, and we've tried. We've done as much as we can over the past few years, but McGill is more coordinated on this in some instances, and the switch is just happening too fast. So really, that's why this is important to both of our units, I think, is we need to be able to coordinate together better. We need to be talking to each other daily, constantly, and we need to be able to look at both the short-term and the long-term concerns for both our members all at once, instead of having to split them down the middle between two organizations and in situations where we're trying to decide which is better for which member. It's too complicated when there's two unions with two separate memberships to look after. So that's why I'm here, why I believe in the merger, why I've worked on it for so long. But for our members, too, I think we can get a lot out of it from each other. I think we bring a lot of strengths, and UNACA does as well. We really would love to be able to work with people who've been at the university for a long time and have seen the change over a long period. That's a perspective we don't get as often because our members tend to leave sooner. Not always. We have some casuals who are around for far too long as a casual. But the institutional memory is really important, and we'll gain that as well as gaining the reach into the casuals and really being able to fight for them as precarious workers, but fight for them with the goal of making McGill a less precarious place, not by getting rid of our workers and not by putting their jobs at risk, but by making McGill as a whole a place where people have better job security, and McGill's not able to do this transformation, which is putting UNACA, which is the strongest union here at McGill, is putting your membership at risk and your strength at risk. So for me, that's really important. It's important for our members. It's important for our members who are full-time UNACA replacement. And I know that they're probably the number one group that this is really important to. But I hope that you've all taken a chance to look over the documents, and it's really about that. It's not about neither of the groups need this to do their day-to-day job better. It's a long-term problem that we have to address. It should have been addressed 10 years ago. It should have been, maybe we should have been unionized altogether at the beginning, but now's the time because we're definitely at a tipping point. Casuals are now outnumbering permanent staff. That's a problem. That's why we're here. That's it for me. I don't know if Jane has anything else, but
And I just want to say, while Amber is still right up here, that some people, when we were going around talking about this merger, some people expressed concerns about, well, why do we want to take over, and we're not, but why would we want to take over Amuse? And what a lot of people don't seem to understand is that the Amuse members would like to be, not all of them, because some of them are permanent students, but a large number of the Amuse members would like to have permanent positions. And the way the structure is today, they can't. And of course, the university wants to keep it that way because it's cheaper for them to have a large number of casual employees instead of permanent positions that A, have benefits, and B, have higher salary scales. So it is something that is in both our interests. It is something that would help MUNACA, the permanent, we'll call it the permanent bargaining unit, to grow, because right now, as I pointed out earlier and as Amber showed you with the numbers, our membership is dropping. And the trend of the university right now is to ensure that it stays that way, if not gets worse. So the only approach that we could see right now is to have a political merger. And again, it's a political merger. We still maintain our own bargaining units, and we still maintain our collective agreements, so you're not losing anything. But we would gain the strength of both units working cohesively and unitedly against what the university is doing. Because right now, like Amber said, we have duplicates of everything. They have their board, I have my board, we have our executive, they have their executive. It's just too cumbersome for the two of us to just talk and then try and get things done. Whereas if we were working as one, we would have the information that would flow directly to the source, whereas right now it's scattered all over the place. So that is our biggest goal, what we think is the most important outcome of this merger, that we would be able to work together and that we would be able to prevent the future creation of casual positions over permanent positions.
Jane, did you have anything?
No? Okay. So, again, I didn't want to get into the whole info session because, like I said, we've held six of them everywhere. We've published all the documentation for everyone to read. So what I would like now is if there are questions on what we have raised here or what you have read, I would ask you to go up to the microphones and to voice those questions. No questions?
I just have an observation, two observations. One is that I think that the distinction between so-called casual and permanent is a specious one. It's an artificial creation by the university. We didn't create that division, the university did. And we have to break that down as much as we can. Yes, there will always be real casual staff. I mean, there's a need to fill in here and there. I'm not saying that need is going to go away, but in many cases, it shouldn't even be a distinction at all. I just wanted to say that Robert Comeau's head of employee relations at McGill had some reading material when I attended a meeting with him this morning, and it was the report of the merger committee. So this is obviously of a great interest to the university.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Can you lay out the timeline? So we're having the vote today. When is Amuse going to have their vote? When that, if Amuse votes, if the votes are both yes, then what happens after that and when?
Sure, go
ahead. Yeah, that's a very relevant question. The next vote that we're going to have, we're going to just have our regular annual general meeting. It's always either the last week of January or the first week of February. I think it's going to end up being February 4th. So we'll vote then. If both bodies approve this to go forward, then between February and hopefully mid-spring, we'll draft a new set of bylaws, we'll draft a new budget, we'll draft all of the things you need to have a joint organization, and then present those to a joint assembly of both of our memberships, hopefully in the spring. That's, crossing our fingers, would be the best timeline. And then we could have, at that point, when we have the joint assembly, which would be kind of a foundational General Assembly. We'd elect new officers, approve the new bylaws, approve the budget, and do all of that, and kind of christen the new union. Well, we hope that it would just take a few months, and that we could get it done by sometime in the spring. If you look in the motion, in the final report of the merger committee, at the very end, there's a formal motion on how basically what we're voting on today, and one of the lines in there, one of the be it resolved clauses, that this committee draft the bylaws in accordance to the plan laid out in the Better Together document. And then that would be the proposal. And at the foundational General Assembly in the spring, it could always be, amendments could be proposed just like any other General Assembly to the bylaws, but the actual text would be drafted by the committee and proposed then. But all in accordance with the spirit of the text in the Better Together document.
When does your current contract finish? Yes. No, I know when ours goes.
He knows. I hope he knows.
Yes.
Ours expires April 20th of 2015.
2015, so yep. You'd want this in place, and we'd all want this in place by then. So you're going into negotiations, and we're as one group at that point.
Well, it's because our negotiations are still going to be going on separate tracks. Each group is still going to be in charge of their own negotiations, and we don't necessarily need to box ourselves into those timelines because it's going to be just the current casuals will be working on that negotiation. We're also in negotiations for the Group 4 fellows right now. We just came from bargaining, so the timeline doesn't necessarily need to be dictated by our collective agreement, but of course we will also be busy with that, so it's
well, not necessarily, you're right, we don't have to be there, but that's part of the charm of this merger, I would think, is that we can be there to observe. You can't hear me because I'm so softly spoken. I'll try to. Though we don't have to be there, one of the points, selling points is that it's a good thing if we are there, both for you guys and for us, for strength and for, it's a bit of a show of unity, I think, as well. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of questions. It would be premature for me to ask to bring this to a vote.
Well, I just want to say something about the negotiations because people have raised that as a concern. And as Amber pointed out, we will be negotiating regardless of what happens. Nothing is going to interfere with the timeline. But of course, if Amuse does agree, and hopefully if we agree today and Amuse agrees by late February at the latest, before their contract is even up, we'll officially be working towards our bylaws and our new elections, but it doesn't prevent us from already interacting.
Okay.
So the idea is if we get the green light on both ends, we will start immediately to be communicating through one source.
Right. Well, I don't see any negatives here. It seems to be all plus, all positive. Can we bring it to a vote?
If there are no other questions... Yes, we do. All right, then. Yes, Mary. I have someone asking for a secret ballot vote. In order to have a secret ballot, it needs to be the majority of the members here in favor of doing so. So all those in favor of a secret ballot, please raise your hands.
If we're going to do a secret ballot, is it gonna? How much longer is it gonna slow us down into getting out of here and back to work?
Okay. Well, if we do a secret ballot, we will have to elect a scrutineer. Then we will have to distribute the ballots. You'll have to vote. They'll have to be collected. Volunteers will have to be used to count them, and then the result would come out.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, she's asking for the process, I'm just pointing out what the process is. So, again, all those in favor of a secret ballot, please raise your hands. Those against? I believe the against are the majority. So we will proceed with the vote with a show of hands. All those in favor of the political merger of MUNACA and AMUSE, please raise your hands. Okay, all those against? The majority rules in favor, so we will proceed with the next step, which will be a presentation and a vote of the AMUSE membership. Thank you all for coming.
Kevin, there's one other item on the agenda.
Oh, I'm so sorry, yes. Okay, just so everyone understands what this is, because we're new to PSAC, and every 3 years they have a triannual meeting that's nationwide, we're supposed to get approval from our General Assembly for the delegates that we send, and we're entitled to three delegates, and the three delegates that will be sent will be myself, David Roseman, and Jane McAslin. So what we're asking is that this assembly approve those three delegates. It's June. Oh, it's April. Okay, sorry, April, May. It's a week long conference. Quebec City. and we do not pay for anything. PSAC pays for it, so it's no charge to MUNACA. Thank you. So, do we have approval of the assembly? Thank you so much, and I'm sorry it's a technicality that we're forced to go through. Thank you again for coming. And please take cookies with you.